Anybody got anything you want to say? All right, if you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the time we have here this morning to fellowship around your word and to study your word. We thank you, Lord, for preserving your word for us. And thank you, Lord, for those that preach the word of God rightly divided, that you be with them in their classes also. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick, that you know the situation, you know the conditions and the needs. We ask you, Lord, to build us up by your Spirit and teach us the things we need to know, and let us not be too concerned about the things we can't understand. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you turn to Romans chapter 6, chapter 5, I apologize. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 1, but that's not what I want to do, but to pick up what's going on, I think we need to start in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are several verses you could go to show that. In Romans chapter 3, we're justified by his faith. And in Colossians chapter 1, God made peace by the blood of his cross. In other words, we're justified because Christ shed his blood. And that's going to be important in just a minute when we get into the lesson this morning. Verse 2. By whom, a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, and that's our faith, into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Well, I know I don't have to be a repentant person to be in this grace that he's talking about here. Christ died for me while I was yet an enemy. We'll see in just a minute here. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Something wrong? Okay.
Happy that he done it.
Yeah, okay. I thought something was going on that I missed.
All right.
In other words, I don't have to be repenting of my sins when I see the dispensation of grace that I live in. You understand? Grace is unmerited favor. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. God gave it to us while we were yet his enemies. Now, verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Are we justified by the blood of Christ?
Yes. Yes.
Now we are. Well, let's go to Galatians. Hold your place and go to Galatians and take Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not in Jesus Christ now. It has to do with his faith to go to Calvary. When Jesus Christ came into the world, he told some people, he said, for this hour came I into the world. In other words, he came into the world to die for sinners. And that's not made known until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote it down in the books of Romans to Philemon. He wrote 13 books to the church, the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 2, Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In other words, if I'm justified by grace, and he says I am, there's no law involved in it. There's no repentance involved in it. There's no asking the Lord to come into your heart, walking the aisle, getting baptized, all of the stuff that the preachers tell you about today. It's all because of his faith. His faith to go to Calvary to die for his enemies. Now you can find in John chapter 15 that he died for his friends back here. But over here, you find through the writings of Paul that he died for his enemies. Now, go back and take Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans 5 and Romans 8. In Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, you know, when you try to teach somebody the truth of the Word of God rightly divided, you're going to make enemies. Mm-hmm. But don't worry about it. You know what I think about when we do something wrong? God still loves us. You know, when you have to spank your children for doing things wrong, that don't mean you don't love them, do you? God still loves us. Now, verse 32. He, a reference to God, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who justified me? You know, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I don't judge myself. He said, I'm already been judged. How did God judge him? The blasphemer that Paul was when the Lord saved him, how did God judge him? Justified. Why? He knew that when he met the Lord, he would believe that Jesus Christ had died for him, so he is justified. Now go back to Romans chapter 5. Verse 9 again now. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Go to, hold your place there, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, that's hard for me to understand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How God could bless his enemy when I curse my enemies. You know, we do. I'm just be honest with you, Sal. Would we do what God did? Would we give up our only begotten son to die for enemies? People that hated him? Blasphemed him? He did die for blasphemers, didn't he?
Yeah.
Paul said he was a blasphemer and Jesus Christ died for him. Now watch what he says here. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In other words, before God Almighty laid the foundation of the world, he chose us in Christ, and our eternal life, according to Titus, is in Christ. 2 Timothy 1 and 2 and Titus 1 and 2, our eternal life is in Christ, and it was promised before the world began. He knew me before I was ever born. He knew how sorry I would be. He knew how bad I would be. You know, sometimes we don't see the way God sees. We see in the flesh. God don't see us in the flesh. He sees us in His Son. From the day you get here to the day you leave here, He sees us in His Son. Now watch what He says here. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Are we accepted in His Son? God, according to Romans chapter 8, He delivered up His Son for us all. And He justified us in His Son. Not in His earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but how did He justify us? At Calvary. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He justified us through the faith of His Son, not through His earthly ministry. You cannot be justified by this message back here in the gospel of the kingdom. You have to be justified by grace. In other words, it's through His grace. It's through Him shedding His blood at Calvary. Now we're going to see that in a minute. Go back to Romans chapter 5 now. Romans chapter 5. Verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Well, now I'm not only reconciled, but I'm justified. And I'm not only justified, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, I'm already glorified. Why? Do y'all know what what being glorified means? You remember the story of, and we won't go back into it, but you remember the story of Martha's brother Lazarus that died? And Jesus Christ was talking about He will come forth in the resurrection, which is being glorified. She said, I know He's going to come forth in the resurrection. Jesus Christ said, this is in the glory over here at the second coming. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, do y'all know what the verse says? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. Well, wait a minute. I'm already glorified, Romans chapter 8. So if I'm already glorified, where am I at? Well, when He was resurrected, the body of believers that God foreknew before the foundation of the world were already glorified in His Son. When He justified me and He glorified me, He forgave me all of my trespasses. I was reconciled to God by the death of His Son, not by what I did or what I do. It does not reconcile me. You're either saved or you're lost. It's that simple. Now look at Romans chapter 5 verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not by what we do, but by His life. Now listen, His eternal life never stopped and it never starts. He's like Melchizedek in Hebrews 5, 6, and 7. Melchizedek had no father or mother. Jesus Christ in His resurrection has no beginning or no end. We in the resurrection have no beginning and no end. We are eternally in Him. He's eternal. I'm eternal in Him. No beginning, no end. I'm a new creature. I'm not born again. I am a new creature created in Christ. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received what? The atonement. Beloved, if you have not received the atonement, you're not saved. Peter, those 12 apostles that Jesus Christ trained, There's 8,000 in the book of Acts 2 and 4 that are looking for the second coming, when God will take away their sins and the atonement will be given to Israel over here. We have now received the atonement. Listen, if you hadn't received the atonement, He could not have carried us to the right hand of God the Father. Now, let's look at this atonement thing. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Start with me in verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of that of the month, that's the seventh month, you shall afflict your soul. You shall do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of rest unto you. You shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister unto the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel, for all their sins once a year. And he did this as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, go to verse 10 of chapter 17, Leviticus 17, verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood. And I will cut him off from among his people, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Come over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Maybe you have somebody that's told you that the book of Hebrews is written to the church, the body of Christ. Well, I got news for you. It ain't. Paul didn't write it. And whoever did write it didn't write it to the church, the body of Christ. It's written to Hebrews. I mean, that's hard to... Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews. Abraham's called a Hebrew. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the fathers of Israel. Hebrews. All right, Hebrews chapter 9. Go to verse, it's hard to break into the context. Come to verse, give me just a minute. Well, let's go to verse 1. It's just too hard to break into the context. Now, I may skip around a little bit, but let's start in verse 1. Hebrews 9, verse 1. Then verily, the first covenant, he's talking about the covenant that he made back here with the fathers. In Genesis through Malachi, he made a covenant back there with Israel. For verily, the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service. Now, you just read some of it back there in Leviticus. And you go back to Leviticus 22, 23, 24, all along in there, and you'll find these feast days and all these things that Israel had to do over and over and over. And you saw back there that the priest had to make an offering for their sins once a year. Okay? That's important. Now, verse 2. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. And the only person that could go back behind that veil, and we'll just do it like this here, and we'll say here's the veil, and there's a table out here, and back here is the altar where the high priest, he's the one that can go back there. And he went back there once a year for the sins of the people. Okay? Now, and he tells you what's back there, verse 4, which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. In other words, all that's down here. So he goes back in, he puts the blood on this thing, and the Lord looks down there, and he can't see that law in there for the blood. Do you understand? The blood of the bulls and goats that they had to offer. Now, verse 6. And when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle. Right over here. Right back here. Verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Now watch verse 7. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself. Did the priest have to offer blood for himself?
Sure.
You know why? Now we're talking about Aaron, the high priest. You know why? He's got the same problem me and you got. He's got Adam's blood in him. He's a sinner from his birth. He's a sinner, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying the way into the holiest was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. Now watch it. That could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now are we made accepted in the beloved? Did God justify us?
Sure.
Did he say we've now received the atonement? Yeah. Well, beloved, Israel has not received that atonement yet. Now, let's go over to verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest. When did Christ become a high priest? He was no high priest in his earthly ministry. You know what he was in here? He was a king. He was a prince. He was a servant. He became a high priest after death. Watch what he says here. But Christ, verse 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. This one back here was made by hands. It's a pattern of that one that's in the heaven. That is to say, not of this building. Now verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When will they be redeemed? When will Israel have their redemption? Second coming. We are already redeemed. In other words, we are already resurrected with him, having received the atonement. The reason I'm focusing on the word atonement is because if you got a reference in your Bible, a lot of them have changed the word atonement to reconciliation, and that's wrong. I know a lot of grace preachers that did that, said the word ought to have been reconciliation. No, God's already reconciled the world through the death of his son. But if you don't accept what his son's sacrifice was here, you won't receive the atonement. You understand? Now, verse 15. And for this cause, the cause of his death, verse 14, go back to verse 13 and let's pick up the context for the cause. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, you see that capital S? That's the Holy Spirit. Offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, and for this cause he is the mediator of a new testament. Now hold your place and your thought here and go with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Who did he give that to? We got any disciples in here this morning? No, we're not disciples, we are ambassadors. We're ambassadors. We're not disciples. And said, take, eat, this is my body. Verse 27, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament. You see that word, New Testament? Under the Old Testament, they took the blood of bulls and goats back here and they sanctified the people once a year. You understand? God couldn't see the law. You transgressed the law. Once a year, the high priest went back here. Jesus Christ once went to Calvary and died. You understand? Shed his blood. He said, this is the blood, what he's doing here, this what some people call the Lord's Supper. You know, we got a lot of grace for people that are keeping the Lord's Supper, and this is Israel's thing. This is Israel. Watch what he says. Verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Hold the fort. Time out. What did he say? Did he say for forgiveness or remission? Hold your place here and go to hold Hebrews and go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 6 again. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Did he say forgiveness or remission? Yeah. Forgiveness. Go back to Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Beloved, they don't get forgiveness until the New Covenant comes in. And the New Covenant don't come in until after the rapture of the church, the tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble, 7 years of Israel's problem over here, Hebrew epistles over here, the tribulation saints. We are not appointed unto wrath. We are appointed unto salvation. This is the day of salvation right here. This is the day that God would have you to be saved. This is the day that his shed blood will be put to your account if you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you will, God knew that before the foundation of the world, and he justified you and already glorified you in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Now, go back to Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins. Now watch what Jesus Christ tells these people. Verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Well, the kingdom ain't going to come until the second coming over here after the tribulation. That's why the prayer in Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you pray, pray thusly, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's why the question in Acts chapter 1, after his resurrection, they asked him in chapter 1, verse 6, Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? The kingdom has been taken from them. Matthew 21 and Matthew 23, the house is left desolate. That's why in the book of Hebrews over here, chapter 3, verse 6, the writer says, Whose house are we if we do such and such and such? We're not a house, beloved. We're a body. Hebrews is not written to you. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10 now. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Well, now I got news for you. Hold your place in. Go to Colossians chapter 2 with me. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. How do you receive Him? By faith. Well, how do you walk in Him? By faith. He ain't walking around here holding my hand and keeping me out of the barroom and out of the movie house and not walking on the grass or kicking the cat or anything like that. I walk with Him by faith in Christ, not Jesus. You know, I hear these people, Jesus this, Jesus that. What Jesus are you talking about? Paul said, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, which we ain't preached, and he didn't say ain't, but I'm a Southerner, I say ain't. We got ain'ts all over the South. Red ain'ts, dude, they'll bite. You see, we walk by His faith, not our faith. And Paul told us in Romans, faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17, check it out. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You can't build up faith by listening to Satan's book. You won't find it in there. It's not there. Now, Colossians 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Not a faith, not a Baptist, not a Methodist, not a Catholic, not a Jehovah's Witness, not nothing, but His faith. It's His faith. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live by faith. How? How does He live? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And you know what He said the next verse in Galatians 2? I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So these people back here, by offering all these blood of bulls and goats back here, could never make the comer thereunto perfect. But we are. Let's look in Colossians 2 verse 8 now. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And you ought to study Matthew chapter 15 about the traditions of men that Jesus Christ telling them and talked to them about the keeping the traditions of the elders and omitting the things of God. Now, verse 9. For in Him, in Christ, are we established in His faith? We sure are. And in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now let me show you one verse. Verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are what?
Perfect.
Are perfect. Didn't you say perfect? In Christ. We are perfect in the Beloved. We've been made acceptable in the Beloved. We are complete in Him. There ain't nothing you can do to get into it. You ain't got to take no wafer. You ain't got to take no Lord's Supper. You are complete in Him. You understand? Complete is complete. I've got a project going and I ain't even halfway done, much less complete. I'll be glad when I get complete with it, and I know a couple of children that'll be glad when I get complete with this project I'm doing for them. Complete is complete. Done. You ain't got to go back and do no more. It's done. Jesus Christ, when He died at Calvary, He provided a salvation for us. And when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, you are complete in Him. There ain't nothing else you can do. And by the way, there ain't nothing you can do to get out of it either. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, these offerings that they made back here once a year, if it would have made them complete and perfect, they wouldn't have had to do it but one time, would they?
Right.
You see, we don't have to trust Christ but one time. You can't fall from grace. The only way you can fall from grace, according to Galatians chapter 5, is by trying to get there by the law. And if you're trying to be justified by the law, you are falling from grace, and it ain't got nothing to do with you walking around in the flesh. It has to do with you trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But if you're trying to get to heaven by keeping the law, you're falling from grace. Galatians 5, study it. Now, Hebrews 10, verse 2. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. Beloved, if I can get you just to see that sin ain't got no dominion over you, Paul said, we're not under the law but under grace, and therefore sin has no more dominion over you. In other words, it can't bind you, it can't do anything to you but curse you. Do you know the law will curse you? Galatians 3. Cursed is every man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do it. Where are you going to take your sacrifice? God said in Jerusalem is the place to sacrifice. Where are you going to get your cow and get on the airplane and go to Jerusalem and cut its throat, catch the blood? And by the way, If you ain't the high priest and you go back here, shoom, you are dead. But he can't go back here until he offers a blood sacrifice for himself. Why, he's a sinner. I hope you see sinners can't go in the presence of God, and I'm in the presence of God right now. I'm already glorified. I'm waiting on the day that this stinking thing here is going back to dirt. You know why? Because I ain't going to be in it. I'm going to be with my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased me at Calvary and died for me. You can't, there ain't a better dispensation in this Bible than what we have.
Amen.
You ain't got to do nothing. All you got to do is believe something and trust it. In whom you also trusted. After that you what? Heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And how long are you sealed? To the day of redemption. You can't lose your salvation. Don't let somebody tell you, if you don't take this wafer or this drink or this, and if you don't do this and don't do that, and you don't give your tithes and all this stuff, don't let somebody pull that. That's under the law. You're at liberty. We have liberty in Christ. But you know what? Paul cautioned us not to use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love serve one another. In other words, love is the fulfilling of the law. In other words, if we knew and if we could understand the love that God had for us, we wouldn't be so upset all the time with our neighbors. Because you know they got the same problem we got. They got Adam's blood in them just like we have. Maybe if you told them about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for them, maybe they'd get saved and be a better neighbor. You ever thought about that? I had a pretty good round with a guard out there at that paper mill one day. And I went to his boss, old Bobby Duke. But before I did, I went to that guard. And I told him, I said, I'm obligated to tell you one thing. That the Lord Jesus Christ loved you and died for you, and you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and sealed eternally, but I'm headed to see your boss about your attitude. I said, I got to tell you that Christ died for you before I go up there. I said, I may not ever get a chance to talk to you again, and I never did after that. Me and him, we avoided each other. I had a bad time with that fellow. He was one of them know-it-all 90-day wonders, I call him. Back to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 3 again. For in those sacrifices there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. Well, see, I don't remember my sins, and God don't remember them either. He sees the blood atonement that I've already received, I've already put to my account. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Well, now if you have a sacrifice, it couldn't take your sins away. All it did was cover them. But you see, Jesus Christ, when he died for those sins. Go to Hebrews 9 and Romans chapter 3. Hebrews 9 and Romans chapter 3. We'll go to Romans chapter 3. Now this right here is where some of the religious preachers and teachers will try to hang you. Romans chapter 3. Let's go to verse 21. Let's start in verse 21. He's talking about the law and stuff, about the law here. But now, in other words, and this is written in Acts 20. But now, not before, this is written in Acts 20. You understand? Acts 20, It wasn't written back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was written in Acts 20. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all that call, verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. In other words, there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile when Paul wrote this. They're all under sin. They've all come short of the glory of God. They've all not measured up. They have all been judged as sinners. So he's telling them what they did. Now, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now watch the problem here. Well, I say a problem. It's no problem to people that understand their Bible rightly divided, but to people that don't know what he's talking about, it becomes a problem. Okay. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, what the religious system will do, they'll tell you, okay, you was born right here. You was born a sinner. You one day, you saw that Jesus Christ died for you. You trusted Christ here. All these sins here paid for. Now, the end of your life is out here. And all the sins that you do out here, you got to confess them. That ain't what he's saying. He's talking about the blood of bulls and goats back here that couldn't take away those people's sins. Go to Hebrews, hold your place there. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 13 again. Hebrews 9 verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, Matthew 26, he said this is the blood of the New Testament. New Testament. We're not New Testament saints. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause, because he shed his blood, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. In other words, back here they had a testament. They broke that testament, they could bring a sacrifice. It couldn't take away their sins, it just covered them. So Christ dies here, and he's telling them over here, his blood will be a put to these account that were under the blood sacrifices back here. And if you didn't have a blood sacrifice back here, this blood atonement would not be put to your account over here. You understand? The same as in here. If you don't trust Christ as your personal Savior, you will not receive this atonement. And God knew it before the foundation of the world, whether you would or would not, based on his foreknowledge. You know, that blows my mind. You know, a lot of women, when they get pregnant, they go have a sonogram. That's a good word. I'm learning new words from to find out what kind of child they're going to have. I wouldn't never want to do that myself. I'd want that to be a surprise, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But you see, this ain't no surprise that the atonement's put to our account. It ain't no surprise that God knew me before the foundation of the world. God knew me before the foundation of the world. You know, in the book of Job, chapter 38, there's a God asked question there. Said, gird up your loins like a man now, and I'll ask you a question. Said, where were you at when I laid the foundation of the world? Well, I could say something. You know what I could say? Well, Lord, I was on your mind in Christ. You told me that you predestinated me before the foundation of the world, but based on your foreknowledge, knowing that I would trust Christ as my personal Savior. I said, you did that before the foundation of the world. That's what you told me. I could tell you. Job didn't have no answer for that. Go back to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and the goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he's a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Beloved, Jesus Christ was not bringing in the New Testament back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The New Testament wasn't made until after he died, and they won't get it until over here at the second coming. Go to Zechariah. I got a minute or two. Go to Zechariah. You have Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. And come on through. If you go to Matthew, go to Malachi and back up to Zechariah. Matthew, Malachi, Zechariah. Chapter. The context starts pretty early, but for time's sake, go to verse chapter 12, and let's start in verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day, talking about the second coming, go to chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain, atonement. In that day, he said, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many for remission of sins. Matthew 26. They get that applied to them that endure to the end. Matthew 24. Go through the tribulation, they will receive the atonement over here at the second coming. Now, chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. They shall no more be remembered. I also will cause the prophets, the unclean spirit, to pass out of the land. It shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begot him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesy. Blood, that's serious, ain't it?
Yes.
Kind of serious. Lord ain't playing games. But you see, the church, the body of Christ, has already received the atonement. We ain't got nothing to worry about. We ain't got to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Who gives a flip? Let me ask you, honestly, can you change what's going to happen tomorrow? As far as the world? Now, you might change where you go tomorrow and what you think tomorrow and what you do tomorrow and what you might wear to work tomorrow if you go to work. I don't go to work. I worked all my life since I can remember. But what would you change about the world tomorrow if you could? You know what I'd do? If God gave me the authority, you know what I'd do? I'd bust this thing wide open. I'd split this thing and boom, blow it up. Get on out of here. Wouldn't have to worry about what I'm going to eat. God's going to take care of me. He promised me that. I got those promises. Blood, what's the problem in the world today? Unbelief. They don't really, most of the world right now don't believe there is a God. Most of them on TV are trying to prove how the world was made and how all this thing got together, and that we're going to leave this one here. It's getting so bad now, and we're going to leave here and go live somewhere else. No, we're earthlings. We're earthlings, and you ain't going nowhere until the Lord comes for the rapture, and we're not going in the tribulation. We're not appointed unto wrath. We're appointed unto salvation. We've now received the atonement. What about you? Have you ever trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Believing that He died for all your sins? Paid for your sins? I suggest you might do it. I believe we're living in some perilous times that Paul talks about. And we can see these perilous times. And they're going to get worse and worse. They ain't going to get better. It don't matter who our president is up there. He ain't gonna change nothing. He's just another pawn headed toward the end of this thing. A one world government, one world monetary system. If you think the world ain't in trouble, you just watch the news. It ain't just the United States of America that's broke. It ain't just this country. It's worldwide. You know what it's working up to? It's working up to the Antichrist to be revealed. But I got news for you. According to this 1611 King James Bible, He can't be revealed while I'm here.
Amen.
God got to get me out of here. God couldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah back here under the law until He got Lot and his family out of there. And you know what happened? Lot went over there and told his sons-in-laws. And you know what them idiots did? Oh, get out of here, Lot. Ain't nothing going to happen. Ain't nothing going to happen. World ain't going to come to an end. I saw a man on TV, some preacher. World's supposed to come to an end several years or so ago, I don't remember the time. Well, it missed it, and he changed it. And it was supposed to have come to pass this past Friday. Was it Friday? Well, we're still here. Beloved, just be ready when it does happen. Appreciate you being here this morning.